Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although, we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. So, Neil and I have just spent the last hour or so of this evening watching slash listening to old 20 odd years ago when you think about it.
Yeah, but when you're saying that to someone who's 36,
yeah,
that's like kicking me in the bollocks.
It is a bit, but I mean that's the reality of the situation. A lot of the music that we grew up with is
retro classics.
Yes.
No, it absolutely is not.
Well, I mean, technically it is, but we were listening to a lot of older music, particularly a lot of Euro dance music. And I have to say, some of the music videos are absolutely filthy. No wonder Americans think the Europeans are obsessed with sex.
Well, the 2000s was.
Oh, yeah.
But Americans as well.
No, there's a different feel to the European music scene, I think.
I beg your pardon?
Mm-hmm.
I used to watch a music channel when I was younger, when I was a teenager, called Channel U, which was all rap, you know? And do you remember Pharrell? Pharrell, yeah.
I know.
One of his songs came on, the women weren't wearing a stitch. I didn't know where to look. At least they had bra and knickers on what you were just watching.
But one of them was wearing a white top that was soaked through. It didn't leave much to the imagination. There was a lot going on, is what I'm saying. But anyway, I'm going around the houses to come to my point. What I wanted to address for the starter today is that I was thinking about it. Because one of the songs I put on was Ozone. You know, the Noma Noma song. And it made me think, you know, Neil, if you had ended up in a boy band, 100% you would have been the tosser of the group. You know, the one who thinks they're number one. They're the main one of the group.
Yeah.
Mm. Don't you think?
No.
No?
No.
I think I would have been happy being like a, you know, back. I would have been the Kelly Rowland to the Beyonce. Had it been me. And I'd be happy with that. But I think you'd be like the Justin Timberlake one.
I'm quite shy and reserved.
In what situation exactly?
All situations, really. No, I would be... Do you remember the prick at the side of the stage dancing about?
Bez. Yeah. Happy Mondays, yeah.
Yeah.
That's who you think you'd be.
Yeah.
No, I honestly do think, again, Ozone, you can tell one of the three guys is like, I am the main guy. Which, can I just say, I was obsessed with that song. And about 15 years ago, I actually looked into them. And one of the other guys, not the more petite one, the other fella.
Mm.
You know what I'm on about?
I think so.
Not the dark haired fella.
Right.
The blonder one.
Mm-hmm.
I actually looked into him. He was on, he did Eurovision. Oh. Did I say that really weird? He did Eurovision.
Oh.
And he was fantastic.
Well, that don't mean he's made it.
No, it doesn't. But I also went on to listen to a lot of the music he had done since then, and I like it. I think he's great.
Oh.
Mm.
Well, hopefully they'll start listening to him and give him a break.
We try and get him on as a guest.
Can do.
See what he's up to now.
Yeah, can do.
But no, I stand firm. I think you'd be the tosser of the boy band group.
Tosser?
Mm-hmm.
Bit strong.
Jumped up prick.
Right.
If you like.
Brilliant. Yeah. Do you know what actually annoyed me though with watching all that?
Mm.
Is so most of the songs you put on as a teenager and still to this day, I consider bangers.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was David Guetta.
Yeah.
I love
Sweat.
All of them. Mm-hmm. All of his songs.
Yeah.
And the way you described him was, it's like a guilty pleasure. I don't tell anyone I like it.
No,
but I like it. And no, it's like, you fucking bastard. Like, what is wrong with it?
No, not now. Now I'm perfectly fine with saying I like all genres of music. But when I was younger, you know, it was kind of more divided. We were talking about this before, that when we grew up, it was kind of like the mods and rockers, but evolved to the 2000s.
Yeah.
You had like your skangers and your emos, goths, rockers, moshers, what have you, slash chavs.
Chavs and moshers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was kind of like not strictly you're put into one camp or the other, but you tend to lean more one way or the other.
I definitely did.
Yeah, and so did I. So what I'm saying is when I was younger, and even if I did like a song, you weren't like listening to it so much. Like I was made fun of when I was younger because I liked some dance music.
But this
and none of my friends would listen to it. So I was called a scanger.
But this is where you and I are different, because even back then when I was a little scallywag and you was younger, you...
Mosher bastard.
You wouldn't tell people, but you liked David Guetta.
No, I did. I did. But it was just, I got made fun of for liking that type of music.
Okay. Because I was proud of liking...
I liked Bass Hunter and I couldn't go around saying that. Do you know what I mean?
That's who I meant. I didn't mean David Guetta. I meant Bass Hunter.
I mean, I've always liked Bass Hunter. And like I said, I did say I liked it, but I couldn't say it without getting slagged for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I walked around and I said it with my fucking chest. I liked Blink 182, Sum 41. What was that other one I really liked? They had one good song.
The only reason you liked them, though, was because of the American Pie soundtrack.
Bollocks. Well,
You told me that yourself.
Okay. No, there was a song I really liked and it wasn't on American Pie.
Do I know the artist? Can I guess it?
You can try.
Well, you got to give me a hint. You can't just say I like one of the songs.
They had one big hit.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was three of them in the band and I think it was something to do with an elephant.
Weezer.
No.
They're Welsh. I know exactly who you're on about. Fuck. I know who this is. Hang on. The name is escaping me. I know exactly who it is. I know exactly who you're talking about. I know exactly who you're on about. The name is just gone, though.
Feeder?
I know. Yeah. Feeder.
Feeder.
Yeah. Feeder.
Yeah.
Great band.
But yeah, I would say it with my chest. Stick my chest out and say, I like Feeder.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have said that years ago.
I did.
I don't believe for a second.
I fucking did.
That you would have walked in, you know, to all the lads. You would have walked over to all the lads sat on the wall in their tracksuits and Nike Air Maxes. And you went, you know, you come over and you flip your side fringe.
We didn't really wear Air Maxes. It was shocks. We'd wear Nike shocks.
I apologize.
If you wore the ones where it just had four on the heel, you were a little pussy. You had to have the all round ones. They were the more expensive ones.
And your pulled up socks.
Pulled up socks. I'd have my shit stoppers on.
Mm-hmm.
Half my face covered up.
Yeah.
TN hat on back of my head. If I was going out, Burberry hat on the back of my head.
The hair gel dripping down your face.
Only on my fringe. I only used to gel the front of my head.
Well, the hat was on the back.
Yeah.
There's no need to waste product.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Berghaus jacket or a sprayway jacket. Any British lad around, any British lad who's like mid-30s will be listening to this going, they'll either be saying, I owned that, or fucking hated them guys.
Yeah. This is what I mean. It was a weird thing. It's not that there wasn't anyone kind of in between these two. Of course there was, and I was myself, but you tended to veer towards one or the other. And I was very definitely the other side of it, where I was band tops and jeans, pair of Vans or Converse type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, the type of person that you would have wanted to kick the shit out of.
The good old days.
Don't you miss it? Either way, we're going around the houses to say we're listening to old, like, dance music, mainly European.
You said old again.
Neil, it's 20 plus years ago. Pump It Up by Denzel. So we had a little debate. I don't know what the hell Neil's been smoking, but he thought that came out in the 80s or 90s. It was 2004.
You know that because you've looked it up.
I looked it up to double check it, but I was pretty sure of the year. Do you know why? Because I had a Now That's What I Call Hits CD.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure I knew the year.
Now That's What I Call Music.
Oh, was it? Yes. That was Hits.
No, Music.
I apologise. But yeah, I was pretty sure the year was 2004, which it was.
Ravers in the UK.
No.
That was a good one.
Not into that one. Not into that type of shite.
So, we have a shout out.
We do indeed.
So, this week, we have Mika.
Mika?
Who's joined the Mortals. So, I was going down the route of, do you remember there was a musician called Mika? Yeah, so I was like, thinking of song names, and the one what stood out, I was like, Lollipop.
Yeah, suck too hard on your lollipop. That was the line, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
I hated that band. I got to be honest with you. You know, no shade to them. I just, I never listened to a full album or anything, but any of their hits, I was like, this is not appealing to me.
So I just in case she couldn't stand them, or if she doesn't want to be called Lollipop, I was thinking, seeing as we're in Ireland, Mick.
Mick.
We'll call him Mick.
Do you know, this is actually quite a themed episode, because with the starter talking about music and then you going for a band, I had a musical reference for Mika. Mika Mills. So if she's not into that type of music, we got the rap coming in here. What about Mika Mills?
Well, he's not that big. She probably won't even know who Meek Mills is.
Ah, no. You know who Meek Mills is.
Meek Mills.
Mika Mills.
Well, if you're into boxing and you're into Floyd Mayweather, you should know who Meek Mills is.
Or if you're into rap.
Well, yeah.
So, thank you, Mika Mills. We appreciate you.
Or, cheers, Mick. Appreciate you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So, what have you got for us this week?
Today, we are going to be talking about the murders of Russell and Shirley Dermond. And we're heading to Georgia for today's case. Now, when I hear Georgia, there's something I think of. Can you guess?
There is for me as well.
What?
Bert's daughter.
What?
There's a comedian called Bert Kreischer. His daughter's called Georgia.
That sounds really wrong.
It does.
You could have said, I think of the name Georgia.
Yeah.
You went a weird way with that.
Yeah, it does sound a bit weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I can't help what popped it. Like, I weren't thinking of the daughter. It was just how Bert, the comedian, has a daughter named Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the name Georgia?
Not really.
Oh. No, well, for me, I think of that song. You know, we're coming back around to music again. It all links back up again and again. The Justin Bieber song. You know the one I'm on about?
No.
When he says, I get my peaches down in Georgia, and then the cat comes in the edit, and like, meh, meh, meh. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't remember that song?
Don't think
so. He says,
so.
I get my peaches down in Georgia.
I don't really listen to Justin Bieber. Like,
I'm not saying you do, but it's the edit all over TikTok and what have you. When someone gets the cat's snout, they go, meh, meh, meh.
You know, like, you've got to think, for me, when I first came across fucking Justin Bieber, he was about 12 years old singing about being in love. And it's like, fuck off. Like, fuck off. Can't be doing with it. Sick of it.
Yeah, but I'm not talking. Yeah, but I'm not talking about you listening to his songs. This is more a social media thing where people kept doing like videos, like clipping his song. And this one guy had his cat and he held his snout. And as the song goes, da da da, he got the cat to go, meh, 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 on its snout.
I remember that, but I don't remember what the song was.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at.
Okay.
It wasn't, don't get like so fixated on the song. It was more the social media side of it.
No, but you can see why it annoys me. A fucking 12-year-old singing about like being in love or heartbroken. Or...
baby, 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 oh.
Yeah, fuck that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't mind that song. I'm just, you know, props to Justin Bieber. I thought it was a bit of a bop.
Okay. All lies, but okay.
Russell and Shirley Dermond were described as, quote, just the most wonderful people you'd ever want to meet. Originally from New Jersey, they'd been married for 68 years and raised 4 children together, 3 boys and a girl.
Oh, I feel sorry for her. Fucking hell. I grew up with one brother, and that was bad enough.
People always say boys are easier to raise.
I don't know if parents, not for the sister.
What do you mean?
You imagine being...
I only have a brother, so...
Yeah, imagine 3 of them.
Well, I got on fairly all right with my brother growing up, you know. I'm just going off what people say. They always say, oh, lads are easier to raise. I don't know if that's fucking true or what.
Well, it's usually just feed them and they'll fucking go to sleep.
Well, I mean, if you look at your family, it's you and your brother are quite opposite. Your brother seemed to have been relatively easy in that sense, whereas you were always the little shit getting in trouble.
Okay. Getting personal again.
Shirley was a homemaker who took incredible pride in her home. Floors you could eat off of, Neil.
You're forgetting I'm from Sheffield. I'll eat off the floor outside. Do you know how some people do the 10-second rule or the 5-second rule?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't do that.
You've got the 3-hour rule.
Yeah. If it's there when I come home the same day, it's edible.
Russell had served in the Navy before becoming an executive for a company which owned clock brands Westclock and Seth Thomas. At the age of 58, Russell retired from the company and went on to own and operate several Hardee's fast food restaurants in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, this didn't seem to be an impulsive shift in his career. Rather, he made this decision conscious of his children's future. Quote, he was such a family man. He was just devoted to his family. He was very hardworking, just a self-made man. There was no doubt he did it for his kids. In 1990, they made the move to Atlanta, Georgia. In 1994, Russell retired and passed ownership of the restaurants onto his sons, Keith and Bradley.
About the other two? Well, they were stitched up, didn't they?
I don't know about their daughter, but as far as I'm aware, they were not really in contact with their other son, Mark. And in the year 2000, Mark was actually killed when a drug deal turned sour. He was shot in the neck and torso on the night of his 47th birthday in downtown Atlanta. The person responsible for his murder remains in prison.
Oh. I'll shut up then.
Not long after this, Russell and Shirley decided to move out of Atlanta. They wanted somewhere more relaxed where they could enjoy their retirement. And for this, they chose Great Waters in Eatonton. They built a 4-bedroom, 5-bathroom, over 4,000 square foot lakefront home, which would be worth over $1 million.
Must be nice.
Well, as I'm sure you can imagine, Shirley was proud of her home, keeping the place in immaculate condition. They had worked hard, raised their kids, and now wanted to enjoy the later years of their life in a more leisurely manner. They attended church. Russell was an avid walker, and Shirley would meet weekly with her bridge club.
Bridge?
Bridge.
What is it with Yanks and bridge?
Oh, they love it, don't they?
You know, I heard of poker. Or snap. Like, you never hear of a Yank talking about playing fish, do you?
No, not so much.
Go Fish is one of the best games ever, and anyone can play it.
Go Fish, or I'm going to dumb it down a bit more. Snap.
Well, I just said snap.
Oh, I apologise. Snap is great.
No, but Fish is better.
Snap can get violent, though. Oh, no, we've had a few games before in my time where glasses have gotten broke and shit. People are fucking slamming down on the table. The idyllic existence of those living in Great Waters came to a screeching halt on the morning of the 6th of May, 2014. Friends of Russell and Shirley arrived at their home. They'd been trying to make contact with them for the last 2 days, but had received no answer. The door had been left unlocked, so they entered the home. They walked through the house, and although there's no sight or sound of the couple, they noticed that nothing seems out of place. It was only when they entered the garage that they stumbled upon a truly grisly sight. Behind the couple's Lexus SUV laid Russell's headless body. Towels had been positioned around him to stop the blood from seeping underneath the doors of the garage and down the driveway. They immediately called the police, who arrived on the scene at approximately 10 a.m. By then, Shirley was still nowhere to be found.
So she's done it.
You think Shirley is responsible?
Well, she's not there. So they had a row and she's chopped his head off.
Well, the first thought was this a robbery?
Well, do you want me to have a guess?
Okay.
She likes a clean, tidy house.
Mm-hmm.
He left a wet ring from his glass.
Well, it's enough to push anyone over the edge.
And she lost it.
Not so much. Like I said, they were fairly well off. So the first thought was this a robbery? Russell and Shirley seemed to be in a fairly good financial situation. So the first thought was, with Shirley missing, were they dealing with a kidnapping? But if this was the case, it seems strange that there was no ransom left. Fearing that 87-year-old Shirley had been abducted, the FBI were brought in to aid the search. Quote, "In 20 years in the FBI, I have never seen a case like this."
You can say it wouldn't be ransom, would it? Like, so say if someone wanted a ransom from us.
Mm-hmm.
They'd kidnap you, but they'd leave me alive to pay the ransom.
Mm-hmm.
But they've chopped his head off, so they're not going to get a ransom from him. You know what I mean?
No, I do, yeah. We don't know if something has gone wrong in the meantime or if this is going to be directed towards their kids or what the situation is.
Yeah. I know you can rule out robbery. No one goes into a home to rob it and decapitate someone.
Well, I'll tell you now, there's no way this is robbery.
Mm.
Billboards in the area display pictures of Shirley, hoping someone might come forward with some form of information. Cadaver dogs searched the nearby area, and the lake water directly to the back of their property was searched by a team of divers. By the 14th of May, and Shirley still hadn't been found, her son Keith told reporters, quote, "Each hour that goes by, my brother, my sister and me are becoming more resigned to the fact that we may never see her again and we may never know what happened. If she is still alive, we can't imagine what she is going through. The human spirit is incredibly strong, but it has almost got to the stage where we hope she is with our father, just to ease her suffering."
Yeah, it would be a weird feeling, wouldn't it? You'd be like...
You kind of think, which is the lesser of two evils?
Yeah.
On the 16th of May, 10 days after the discovery of Russell's mutilated remains, a body is pulled from Lake Oconee, and the description matches that of Shirley, an elderly woman of 5'2" tall, with grey hair and blue eyes. Shirley had been found in the lake by two fishermen about 6 miles from her home. Her body was face down, and cinder blocks had been attached to her ankles. But due to the buildup of gases that occur during decomposition, her body rose to the top of the 46-foot depth of water.
See, that's mad, isn't it, when you think about it? Like, the power of the gases doing that with two cinder blocks
mm-hmm.
attached to her.
Science, bitch. With the recovery of Shirley's body, the focus now shifts from search and rescue wholly to a murder investigation. Sheriff Howard Still stated that, as bad as it is, it does progress the investigation. With the time that had passed, and with her having been submerged in water, Shirley's body had become quite badly decomposed. Following an autopsy, they determined that Shirley had been killed before her body was placed into the lake, as there was no water found in her lungs. The cause of death for Shirley was blunt force trauma to the head. Her skull had been fractured, and the wounds were described as vicious and possibly caused by a hammer. For Russell, it's unsure what his cause of death was. It's thought that he may have been shot in the head. The reason for this is that there was gunshot residue found on his shirt.
But no bullet holes in his body?
Nothing in his body.
Hmm.
But Russell's head was missing.
Yeah, yeah.
He had been decapitated after death, and it was said that this had been done with a, quote, very clean cut. Police believe that his head was taken to conceal evidence. If he was killed by a shot to the head, decapitation removes the option of the bullet being identified.
That's actually really smart, isn't it?
Mm.
I don't want to give props to the killer, but that's so simple, isn't it?
I mean, simple in the fact that you're literally removing the issue, but to decapitate a person is quite a lot of work. But they,
what you got. If you've got a chainsaw.
Well, they, fucking hell. They went through the work. I mean, they were even positioning towels around his body. They spent the time.
Yeah, yeah. Which makes me think, but it's someone who was all right being there because they weren't in a rush to get out.
Well, you're right. That is the thought process here. It had to have been someone they knew.
One of the sons. The daughter.
Because we haven't heard that much from her.
Yeah.
You're honed in on the daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. Not only was the gruesome nature of the murder shocking, but the fact that it happened at all in this community came as a surprise. Quote, "We haven't had a murder in Putnam County in probably 8 or 9 years. We virtually have no crime in the community where this occurred." The reverend of the church, which Russell and Shirley attended, said of the murders, quote, "It may have shattered any kind of false security that we've had. Now part of the challenge is that we live with unanswered questions." So as far as the investigation goes, it's believed that the murders took place on either the 2nd or the 3rd of May. The last confirmed time that Russell had been seen alive was on the 1st of May, where he is visible on the CCTV of a supermarket not far from his home, and Shirley a few days before at her weekly bridge game. On the 3rd of May, Russell and Shirley were due to attend a Kentucky Derby party in their neighbourhood, but they never showed. Their mail also had not been retrieved from their mailbox since the 3rd. At the time of his murder, Russell was wearing his robe, boxers, a t-shirt and slippers, but Shirley was dressed for the day. So Shirley could have just been up and ready for the day before Russell, or...
cleaning.
What?
She was always cleaning house. Might got up early to clean.
Well, she might have done, but I mean, would you necessarily get dressed for the day to do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, cleaning, I mean, I look like I've been dragged through a ditch backwards when I'm cleaning.
You said it, not me.
So possibly she was up ready for the day or, like you said, got dolled up to clean.
Hmm.
Or was Shirley made to get dressed to leave the house with the killer or killers? Remember, she was found in the lake.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing, you know, what's just triggered me. When you said, you know, about the mailbox. I wonder why Americans don't have letterboxes in the door so the post goes into their house.
Yeah.
Why do they have it at the end of the driveway?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Like...
I mean, I kind of prefer it, if I'm honest with you. So someone's not coming right up to my door and winding the dog up. If I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you have a big, long driveway... a mailbox is also a better idea.
Hmm.
Hmm. So, like we just mentioned, we don't know if she was murdered within the home. And there's certainly a chance it was elsewhere, given the location of her body and the time which had elapsed between her last sightings and the recovery of her body. The couple lived in an exclusive gated community with private security. So you would think there'd be surveillance footage available.
Hmm.
But due to a recent storm... the power to the cameras was out.
That's another thing what America does wrong. What, storms?
They do storms wrong.
Well, they actually do, right? you think I'm being thick saying that, but they build houses.
Made of cardboard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To be destroyed in a storm, but they know they're going to get annually. And it's like, oh, it's flattened. Like, they do it because it's like, it goes down easy, but they're easy to build.
Mm-hmm.
But if you build something with a bit of structure to it, there's a good chance it won't go down.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But at the same stage, we don't experience, for the most part, storms anything near like what like people in America do.
We've had some fucking wind.
We have. Like the storm we had at the end of last year, was it? Or is the start of this year?
Dara.
Was that what it was called?
We had a storm Dara.
Yeah, like that was, you know, not for us. We weren't hit that bad on the East Coast. But on the West Coast, yeah, it was horrific for a lot of people.
Mm.
My point being, overall, we don't tend to have as extreme weather conditions.
Mm.
Now, back to the security and the gated community situation.
Yeah.
We also can't go by visitation logs, as it wasn't routine to record the license plate numbers of those who entered the community. But their home showed no signs of forced entry, and there also didn't appear to have been a struggle. Therefore, it's believed that the killer or killers were known to Russell and Shirley, or at least, quote, minimally acquainted with whoever did this.
It's the daughter. You know, she's pissed. She ain't got a cut of the business.
You're really honing in on the daughter, aren't you?
It's all I've got at the minute.
Given how well the home was kept, the only noticeable quote-unquote flaws, given how house-proud Shirley was, were the unmade bed and a USA Today crossword which had been left on the kitchen table.
What, was she that tidy?
The place was immaculate, Neil.
But you couldn't have a crossword.
Nothing. Well, the thing is, right, so they had sat down that morning for their breakfast, mm-hmm. doing the crossword. You clean that up after breakfast. I imagine Shirley ran a tight ship.
It depends. Was the crossword finished?
Well, I mean, if you look at you and I, right?
Me and you.
Exactly. I don't like things left out of place.
Hmm.
Now, like, I'm not, like, super fucking uptight about it. I'm not going to freak out.
This is what I mean.
But I do notice when you leave something out of place. And it does, you know, burn inside of me. There's the ball of rage.
Look, if I was in the... Well, I wouldn't be doing a word search. I'm not very good at them. If I was in the middle of doing a colouring book or a dot-to-dot and you picked it up and went to tidy up and put it away, I'd be like, are you fucking off your head? I'm in the middle of that.
You see, you have this horrific habit of saying, yeah, I'll get to it. I'll do it in a minute. That's actually dead on for you, is I'll do it in a minute.
In a minute.
In a minute, yeah. That minute never comes. I don't know what minute in time you're speaking of, but I'm yet to meet it. And then when I wait, say, half an hour, and you still haven't got up off your arse, and I cleaned up, you're like, who's going to do it in a second? And it's like, come on now.
Brilliant.
Are you arguing it?
Yes.
You are a lot more lax than me. Come on. You are.
Look, all I'm saying is if I was in the middle of a puzzle and you went to put it away,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be very happy.
What if you were sat doing the crossword and you were taking too long? I was getting annoyed because, like, I wouldn't have wiped down the table. Will you move? And you're like, in a minute when I'm finished.
Yeah.
If I came over your shoulder and I did it for you.
Behave.
Would you go mad?
Well, obviously. You've been with me 10 years. You honestly think I would stand for that?
But it's finished, going by your logic.
Not by me.
Okay, so it has to be you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As far as it is known, neither Russell or Shirley had any particular issues with anybody, nor were they experiencing any financial turmoil. But this doesn't appear to have been a random attack either. Russell and Shirley's children were not immediately ruled out. But there was also no evidence to link them to these murders, and they all passed polygraph tests.
Don't mean anything.
You really, really got something against the daughter, don't you?
It's not something what can be used in the court of law.
No, I fully agree with you. Polygraph tests are a load of shite.
She could have been sucking on a penny.
What?
It's supposed to be a thing if you suck on a penny, the copper in your gob cheats the lie detector. I ain't talking shit. That's the thing.
Those who worked and lived within the gated community were also brought in, interviewed, some were polygraphed, and they were all cleared. The FBI offered a reward of up to $20,000 for information leading to an arrest and conviction of the perpetrator or perpetrators. The FBI's behavioral unit also worked on a profile of the killers. Unfortunately, with so little to go on, they're somewhat limited.
Mm.
Part of the profile states that they believe this person is, quote, someone who liked guns and knives.
Did she?
I see what you did there. You're trying to lead us one way. I mean, let's be honest, it's most likely a guy.
A fella, then. She's the only one who hadn't been left a pot to piss in.
But you don't know that.
The business was left to the two sons. Other one died in a drug deal.
Yeah, I know, but we don't know. Did she say, nah, I'm good, I don't want any part of that? Or was she already set up? Like, what? We don't know.
I don't know. You didn't tell me that bit.
We don't know this. You're the one who's coming for her. She could be a lovely woman.
Look, in my eyes, everyone's a suspect until we've got the perpetrator.
Guilty until proven innocent.
Yes.
It's thought that there was at least two people responsible for the murders and that they had possibly approached the house by boat. But what was the motive? Shirley's bag was still within the home, along with her phone, and their cars still on the property. No jewellery had been taken, including their Rolex watches. Hundreds of people were interviewed. Their bank records were searched through. Their safety deposit box was checked. Their phone records reviewed, and their wills examined. The killer or killers left no fingerprints or DNA evidence within the home. In the years that followed the initial investigation, police have had to rely on contacting other law enforcement agencies to obtain details of other murders of the elderly or cases involving decapitation. Quote, 6 months into the investigation, I began to realise that this case was going to be one of those cases where we're going to need somebody to give us a phone call or tell us something.
Mm.
But the sheriff went on to clarify, we have not given up. We are not going to give up. With very little to work with, police even met with a few psychics who offered their services.
Fuck off.
Mm.
No.
Not my scene now.
So basically they're just wasting time.
Look, I understand how desperate you can be to find the answers. But I don't think it should ever. I don't think these should ever meet. I think they're completely separate things.
But that's what I was going to say, right? Say if something happened to me, yeah? And the case was going cold, there was no leads, and you went to a psychic because your head scrambled.
Yeah, work away.
And you're desperate for answers. I can understand that more than a fucking sheriff or FBI going to a psychic or a dog whisperer or like any of these
Me personally, if something had happened to you and the people investigating told me we're struggling, we've enlisted the help of a psychic, I would be offended.
Yeah.
I would be like, are you fucking kidding? I would rather you have no answers for me.
You turn it into a circus.
That's how I feel, yeah. In 2024, Putnam County announced that the lab were able to identify DNA which had been found at the scene, and it did not belong to either Shirley or Russell. If they have enough, hopefully they will be able to enter this into the national database, or failing this, use a genealogical search.
That one. They'll find it on there.
I mean, that's fucking working wonders nowadays, isn't it?
Especially if it's your kids.
They also now have access to technology to further analyse mobile phone data that was unavailable to them at the time of the murders, meaning they can now see the mobile activity that was in the area at the time. So here's hoping something comes of these advancements.
Mm.
But I don't know what the situation is. This was a year ago. Are they working away and they've got something they're keeping close to their chest, or did nothing come of it?
Mm.
This case has been described as a host of contradictions and a lot of bad luck. Quote, these people certainly weren't deserving. Nobody's deserving of this, especially at their stage in life. But what worries me most is who would do this will do it again. This is not the work of some drug-crazed individuals, and this is not some professional assassin. Quite candidly, this is the most baffling case we've ever worked on. Sheriff Howard Sill has described the murders as a yoke around his neck and said that he still thinks about this case every morning and every night.
What's he mean, a yoke around his neck?
I know. I was like, fucking what? Yoke?
Because that's a, for an that's Irish a very, person, that's anything.
That's a very Irish thing to say.
Yeah.
In Ireland, yoke means thing, object,
yeah,
item. Yeah. A yoke around his neck, like a noose, isn't it? Like a rope around his neck.
Okay.
But yeah, that piqued my interest. In Sheriff Sill's career, spanning over four decades, this is the only homicide that remains unsolved. So, with that said, let's talk about a few theories. As you can imagine, people have had many theories over the years. Everything from robbery to a hitman, cults, extremists, even alligators.
Alligators?
Yeah, I mean, like, the alligators, fuck off. I imagine that was before Shirley was found.
I was going to say, so alligators went into the garage, bit his head off. Oh, no, shot him in the head, then bit his head off.
Well,
then put towels around his head.
Well, this is the thing. We don't know what exactly happened. I'm guessing this was people who didn't have the whole details and just heard headless body.
Right.
Because there's no way, you know what I mean? They knew about the towels. An alligator.
Yeah.
Now, although I don't think it holds a lot of weight, the cult theory is interesting. Remember, this is a county with very little crime.
Mm.
But after various reports of abuse, the FBI did begin investigating in 1993. But it wasn't until 2002 that Dwight York, the leader of the Nuwobian Nation, was arrested and subsequently convicted on various counts of sexual abuse, many of which involved the abuse of children.
It's a footballer, isn't it?
There is a footballer called Dwight York, but separate man.
Okay.
There was actually that many cases against him that the prosecutor decided not to go forth with all of them because, quote, a jury simply wouldn't believe the magnitude of York's evil. Now, when I say decided not to go forth with all of the cases, there were still about 200 against him.
Fucking hell.
So just to make a point of how widespread the abuse was within this community.
Yeah.
Dwight is currently 80 years of age and due to be released on the 12th of June, 2120. So, good luck with that one, Dwight.
Due to be released?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, well enough for him.
In an urn.
So, an interesting case in itself, but there is no real connection here other than the fact that both the cult members and the Dermans both lived in Putnam County.
Yeah.
That's about it. There was some talk over whether it was like a payback for their leader being arrested and prosecuted. But, I mean, why the Dermans? It doesn't really. It's just connecting two high-profile cases in a relatively crime-free area.
Yeah. Chucking shit at a wall and seeing it fill stick.
Exactly. But, you know, I can understand how people are just, they're just trying to find something to come to a conclusion. Of course, it was also considered whether their murders were connected to the murder of their son 14 years previous. But his killer is still in prison, and there doesn't seem to be any link or reason why someone else would go after his family at this stage.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Another thought was, could this have been the result of a long-held grudge? If this was an ordered hit, was his head taken as proof of death?
Oh.
I mean, there is some legs to that.
Yeah. You know? So, yeah. So when I'm there saying it's the daughter and you're there going, oh, but this is clearly a guy. Yeah, she's hired a fucking guy. And they took the father's head back as proof. Look, it's gone.
So you're on the hitman theory now.
I'm still on the daughter.
Yeah. By means of hitman.
Yeah.
Like,
or yeah, a fella.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a fella would have to prove it by...
What if a fella was a hitman?
Well, it could be.
Could be. One of the first theories was a robbery. But a robbery isn't likely. Nothing within reach was taken. But what about a botched heist? It seems odd that they would do so little research into the couple's financial arrangements, but they were so meticulous in the murder and cleanup.
Mm.
If the motive for this attack was financial gain, and the killer selected somewhat at random from within the community of vast wealth, they certainly made an odd choice. The Dermans were well off, yes, but not when compared to the others who lived there. And they didn't flaunt their wealth either. Quote, they weren't gaudy. They weren't pretentious. They were just really down to earth. In this case, nothing is certain. Nothing is clear. Leaving Russell and Shirley's friends and family with no real answers. But for their son Keith, he is still wondering whether there was no reason as such. And if this was the work of a serial killer. Quote, I mean, at least that would be a reason, so to speak. All the other things, the cults or gangs, none of it seems to make sense. And I have to be honest, I would be inclined to agree with them. But what makes this theory even more horrifying is the murders, along with the forensic level of cleanup and the transportation of Shirley's body, would have taken a considerable amount of time to complete. And if it is the case that these murders were the work of a serial killer, it's thought that the killer may have stayed within the house for a number of days. And to this day, Russell's head has never been found. What if his head wasn't taken as a way to remove evidence or a proof of death, but as it is often referred to, a trophy for the killer?
But usually if you're taking a trophy, it'd be something what imperishable. You know, like jewellery, ID, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take the head, it's not going to be in the same condition for much longer.
Well, they might preserve it.
Hmm. Maybe then.
You know, I'm not saying... I mean, the head thing is the least compelling part of the serial killer side of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think robbery is the case. I think, to do with their son is not likely. I don't think a hitman... none of that really holds a huge amount of weight for me.
Mm.
I personally think... serial killer.
But is there any other killings similar to this?
This is the issue. We can't find any more.
It's not a serial killer then.
That doesn't mean it's not. It means they're not linked.
Well,
they have looked at other cases, but it doesn't quite pan out and it's so far away and, you know.
Mm.
So, yeah, like you just said, there doesn't seem to be other murders which can be attributed. Of course, they've looked at others, but nothing has really panned out.
Mm.
So, what about a thrill kill? This still leaves the option open for the killer to possibly want to take a trophy from the murder or concealing evidence.
But a thrill kill, wouldn't that be more common for it to just be like a quick stabbing or...
Well, this is the thing. For a thrill kill, they were incredibly thorough. They'd clearly thought everything out, every last detail. There was hardly any evidence, no DNA evidence, until years later they find this tiny bit, which they're hoping to be able to test. It doesn't seem likely that it was a thrill kill, but there's nothing else to link it. You know, was this someone who finally... committed murder. They'd been planning this for years, every last detail thought out, and finally went through with it. If it's not that, I mean, I go back around to the serial killer thing, but it's just, there's no other crimes this similar.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite hard, but look, there are some killers that they've had multiple kills, but it's not serial in the sense that it's always stabbing or you know. At the time of their deaths, Russell was 88 years of age and Shirley was 87. Their home, which had once been valued at over $1 million, sold for just $650 in 2016. They had wanted their ashes to be scattered in Lake Oconee, although their kids haven't followed through with this, stating, quote, we almost don't feel that's appropriate anymore. As it stands, it's a waiting game.
Killers can get restless and slip up. Or possibly someone they confided in finally speaks out. For the sake of their loved ones, let's hope this happens. And that is the unsolved murder of Russell and Shirley Dermond. I was going to say, Neil, any guesses, but I think you've made it quite clear. You think it's someone close to them.
Yeah.
And you think hitman.
Yeah. Right.
All allegedly speaking, of course.
Yeah, obviously. If I knew for a fact, I'd be one of them.
Are you, though?
It's either the two sons, and they did it themselves, or it's the daughter, but she got someone else to do it. It's someone who didn't raise any suspicion them being at that house.
Mm-hmm.
There, I said it. Allegedly.
Yeah, they did say at one point that they had been told of a man who'd been seen in the area near the home.
Mm.
But again, that doesn't really mean anything. That could be a hitman, that could be a robbery, that could be a serial killer, that could be
someone walking a dog.
This is what I mean. There's nothing here.
Yeah.
And then you've also got the element of, did they enter through the gates of the property, through the community, or did they arrive by boat? They lived on the fucking lake.
Yeah.
You can easily access. I mean, and then of course, because Shirley's body was found in the lake 5 to 6 miles down the way.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if it's boat. I think they arrived and exited on boat. Because there's so little sightings, they have to have but then again, if you were to arrive and exit on boat, it'd make noise. If you lived in that gated community, you'd hear that boat.
Something doesn't add up here.
So unless it's a robot.
If you were to live in an exclusive gated community, people's heads turn.
Yeah.
If they see someone they don't recognize immediately, see a car, they don't, you know.
They could even be looking out at window going, is he walking a dog?
When did he get that Pomeranian? There's something not right here.
Yeah.
It's something fucking sus. I mean, obviously it is, but I don't understand how no one really saw anything.
Mm.
They weren't seen for a few days. I mean, you know, look, that can happen. You can be busy, whatever. But no one saw anything. No one noticed anything. So if it is the case that all these people are being completely honest and genuine, it has to be the work of someone who has committed murder before, surely. Someone who knows exactly what they're doing.
Do you know who else I'd be looking at? Nah, bear with me. There is someone else I'd be looking at. The person who's bought the house, 400 grand cheaper than the value. Was that the plan and the goal?
I mean, that just seems like a lot to go through.
To save 400 grand?
I mean, but if you're going to be spending that much on a house anyway, you'd just go elsewhere, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I know, like, it's a tough one. And I know you hate unsolved cases. They wind up to no end. And I feel like a bit of a shy talk giving you one because you get so frustrated, but...
No, it's not that I don't like them. I think the unsolved ones are more important. I'm sorry to say, but I think they're more important to be told.
Yeah, they need the attention on them.
Yeah. It's just with how my brain works, I have to know who did it.
Wait, this is 11 years ago and it was so brutal.
Yeah.
You would think there'd be something there.
Yeah.
Even if they couldn't find who, there was no one in the database. The fact that they were struggling and 10 years later, they finally found a small bit of DNA, which they were hoping to test.
Mm.
How did this person get away with it?
See, if the sons are still well off from the business, me personally, I would be offering a ridiculous amount of money for a lead to a prosecution. That's the only way you're going to get someone to come forward. I've said it before in episodes. Offering 10 grand, 20 grand, if you're going up against a hitman or something like that, that's not enough. No one's going to open the mouth. Even if it was just a gang member, they're not going to open the mouth for 10 grand. They want to be offering 80 to 100K. Right, sir.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, like, the FBI are still working on this case. Like, like I said, one of the agents said, I've never come across a case like this.
Mm.
For the FBI to be saying that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, his head has still not been found, Leo.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to now. Unless they find the person who's done it and he's got it on his mantelpiece. Like, they're not going to find that.
Mm. So I'll leave that to sit, which is, lads, if you have any theories, think we're overlooking something. I mean, it is quite hard because there is so little to go on, really.
Yeah.
And of course, whatever bit of information they do have, of course, without any leads, they're going to keep it close by. They're not going to reveal everything to the public, of course.
Well, they haven't got a description. They don't know how many people were doing it. They don't know
what
vehicle they arrived in.
So on that point, do you think, I think it was one person. And I think it was, you know, whether it was a thrill kill, which is harder to believe, you know, someone who clearly thought it out and been wanting to do this for a long time, if it was, or the work of a serial killer.
Mm. I think one person.
Yeah, I think so.
Because if there was more than one, they'd have been found. Because people can't keep a gobshop.
The more people who are involved, the more likelihood, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it ups the scariness of this case, knowing that if it is just one person, they would have had to have been in the house for a considerable amount of time.
Yeah.
Which is really scary. And even more chance of getting caught, and they're still just completely evading any type of...
Could be a man from Japan. He did it.
The Miyazawa family case.
He stayed there.
Well, they did think it could have been an American.
Yeah.
So, are we linking it?
Well, could be.
Could be.
So, while we're on a roll, we'll take a break from that. Oddity.
I like how you say take a break. So you're hoping to revisit it.
I'm gonna solve the case. I might do a bit more digging myself.
Mm. Oddity then.
Mm-hmm.
Bang bang.
Who's there?
Thomas Dudley, or Bang Bang, or his later preferred title, Lord Dudley, was an eccentric personality known around Dublin. Born on the 13th of February 1906, he was raised in an orphanage in Cabra. In adulthood, he spent much of his time in and around the Liberties area of Dublin. Thomas had a love of Western films, and what made him such a distinctly recognisable character was his routine of acting out shootouts with the people of Dublin. Thomas always carried a large brass key with him, which he would hold up as a gun. He would enter a tram or a bus and would pretend to shoot passengers or those who pass by, earning him the nickname of Bang Bang. As a fixture of Dublin City, the majority of people enjoyed his playful nature, with many firing back, taking cover, or falling to the ground following being hit by Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
In his later years, Thomas struggled with his sight and was taken into a care home, but he still kept his key nearby in case of any trouble.
Well, he was still just going around, bang, bang.
He still had his key with him, still had his gun with him. Always be prepared, you know. He passed away on the 11th of January 1981 at the age of 74 and was buried in an unmarked grave in St. Joseph's Cemetery. Quote, Bang Bang appeared on our scene in the 20s, but he belonged to the entire city. His favourite hunting ground was the trams, from one of which he jumped, turning immediately to fire Bang Bang at the conductor. Passengers and passers-by took up the game, and soon an entire street of grown-ups were shooting at each other from doorways and from behind lampposts.
That's cool.
The magic of make-believe childhood took over, and it was all due to the simple innocence of Bang Bang.
That's really nice.
It is. It's quite sweet.
Yeah.
A legend of Dublin City, his memory lives on through song lyrics, stage plays, a cafe named after him, and his brass key, which is now on display in the Dublin City Archive. 36 years after his death, in 2017, a plaque was unveiled by the Lord Mayor of Dublin after fundraising efforts by the Bang Bang Cafe. The inscription reads, quote, Bang Bang became a legend in his own lifetime. a man who brought joy and fun to the streets of the city. This plaque was erected by a group of ordinary Dubliners who fondly remember him. But there you go. How about that? All bang bang.
That is actually a really nice story.
It's quite sweet, isn't it?
Nice one to end the episode.
Mm. Would you have had a bit of a shootout with Bang Bang?
Of course I would have.
Mm.
He's actually lucky, but no one turned around and went, "You taking the piss?" and then shot him.
Apparently there was someone who was like, "I'm not playing with you, Bang Bang, if you don't call your hits, basically. If you don't drop, I'm not fucking, you know, don't act the bollocks, you know."
The same with Airsoft.
Yeah, that's what
call
I thought.
Call your fucking hits.
Yeah, so maybe Bang Bang was a bit of a chancer in that aspect. But yeah.
That's scurrilous. Well, you know, he called all his hits.
He could have done. I'm just saying, you know. We don't know. Could have been.
I think we should go to the Bang Bang Cafe.
Yeah, we can do if you want.
Yeah.
You want to go to Bang Bang?
Yeah, we can go to Bang Bang.
And then we can go visit his grave, have a look at the plaque and go, there it is.
Yeah.
Here's the plaque we talked about on episode, 103?
102.
Apologies.
There is only one question I have. Why a key?
What do you mean, why a key?
Why a key? Like,
well, you work with what you got, Neil.
Yeah, but do you know what I did as a kid? And it weren't hard to do. You would keep snapping branches off of trees and you would design a gun. You'd design a pistol from a twig.
Yeah, but a bit of brass lasts longer than a fucking twig.
Yeah, but you can upgrade, you can, you know, have different loadouts.
I will not sit here and have you sully the good name of Bang Bang Thomas Dudley / Lord Dudley.
But a key, it doesn't make sense.
Well, you can hold the top bit and then you know, I see what he's working with. It was a big key. It was a big one, as you would say.
Yeah. Ah, fucking big.
Big enough that people were threatened to drop to the fucking floor. Bad enough to drop to the pavement of a city centre.
Hmm.
You know, probably piss-soaked paved zones.
Of Dublin.
You know.
You said it, not me.
Look.
Braver than me.
You know. Any city centre, there's a bit of a pong, isn't there?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.